We say amen to the beautiful singing of our choir. Thank you. The story of the Canaanite woman and Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew is one of the scriptures that is often used for a Mother's Day Sunday celebration. Of course, the homiletical attention is given to the woman who pleaded with Jesus for the healing of her daughter, who was suffering from a mental illness. Usually, preachers would highlight the persistence of the mother who endured humiliation for her daughter's sake. She is lifted up as a role model for all our mothers as we thank God for their sacrificial love. Yet, I don't know about you. I don't know if anything stood out for you as you were listening to this story. Whenever I read or listen to this story, I cannot help but feel a little bit uneasy, a little bit uncomfortable with the picture of Jesus it presents. We imagine Jesus as a very kind, gentle, compassionate, all-merciful, and open-minded, all-welcoming person. But that is not what we see in today's scripture. Here, Jesus appears to be rude to the woman who comes to him, seeking help for her daughter. His words to her sound very hurtful. He seems to be exclusive instead of being inclusive. So what is going on? Typically, commentators offer two kinds of interpretations of these puzzling actions and words of Jesus. Some would say that Jesus already knew all about the woman's situation and he was going to heal her daughter. But he pretended to ignore her and said those harsh words to her because he was just testing her faith. He wanted to know what kind of faith this Gentile woman had. Some others would argue that Jesus was trying to teach his disciples through his interaction with the woman. In such interpretations, there are these assumptions. With his supernatural power, Jesus already knew everything and he was always right. He could not be wrong. And with his characteristics of the Messiah, Jesus was perfectly loving and caring, and he always welcomed everyone without any bias, without any prejudice. But I'm going to offer these what ifs. What if we read this story and any other story of Jesus in the Gospels without these kinds of assumptions? What if Jesus did not know everything already? What if Jesus did not fake his words and actions towards this woman? What if what Jesus did and said to her were what he actually meant? What if Jesus' attitude toward the Gentiles was not far from that of a typical Jewish person in his time and place? What if Jesus was actually exclusionary towards foreigners until he experienced a change of heart confronted by this desperate mother? What if Jesus learned from his encounter with a Canaanite woman? These what ifs may sound offensive to some of us because they seem to make Jesus less than perfect. If he was not perfect, if he had not known already everything, how could he be our Lord and Messiah and Savior? So you might wonder, right? So please bear with me as we walk through the text, trying to read it this morning from a different perspective. As the story begins, we find Jesus entering the region of Tyre and Sidon, outside the Jewish boundaries on the north. We are not told why Jesus is going there. Perhaps he's going there to minister to the Jews who live there. Or perhaps he's simply trying to get away from the crowds of people who are following him everywhere. His ministry was so demanding, and often he did not even have time to take a bite. Whatever the reason, soon a woman appears and begins to shout, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." Though she is a foreigner, she knows already who Jesus is. Apparently, the news of Jesus' miracles has already reached this non-Jewish territory, we assume. What is Jesus' response to her, to her plea? He just ignores her. We are told that Jesus does not answer her at all. But she persists. She continues her shouting. You can imagine the woman was causing quite a scene, apparently annoyed by her constant shouting. Jesus' disciples come to Jesus and ask their teacher to send her away. But Jesus says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." It appears that the disciples delivered now Jesus' words to her. They probably thought that this would get her to stop bothering them anymore, that she would be discouraged by Jesus' exclusionary remarks. But that was not what happened. Instead, she goes directly now. Instead of shouting from afar, she directly goes to Jesus and kneels before him, showing her respect for him. Then she continues her plea, saying, "Lord, help me." Now, Jesus has no other option than directly dealing with this woman, who is not taking no for an answer. Then what does Jesus say to her? He says, "It's not fair to take children's food and throw it to the dogs." This comment appears rather blunt and rude. But in his defense, Jesus has a clear sense of mission. He truly believes that he has been called to minister only to his own people, the Israelites. And this woman in front of him is the Canaanite, a non-Jew. She is outside, clearly outside the bounds of his mission. And also, though Jesus' words to her may sound very harsh, dogs and pigs were how the Israelites commonly referred to the Gentiles, who did not share their sanitary rules and regulations. So the Israelites perceived the others, non-Jews, as dirty people, unclean people. No, what does she do? This desperate mother never gives up. She says, "Yes, Lord, yet if the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Her response is bold. She does not accept the labels imposed on her. She does not accept the boundaries Jesus drew between his people and her people. Her response is witty. She does not criticize Jesus for his racism, but challenges him in an insightful and clever way. Hearing her words, Jesus says to the Canaanite woman, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." Did you catch that? Did you notice what just happened? Jesus changed his mind. Through this belief, through this brief encounter with a Canaanite woman, he had a change of heart. This Jesus we see at the end of the story is not the same Jesus we see in the beginning of the story. He is no longer a narrow-minded first century Jew who is bound by the belief and culture of his time. Perhaps hearing the creative and challenging words from the mouth of the Gentile woman, a desperate mother, was a big aha moment for Jesus. What if the interaction with her has an impact on him? That through her, Jesus experiences a change of heart. And as a result, he changes his mind. Not only about this Gentile woman, but also the nature of his mission. What if from her, he learns that the Gentiles also could have known God, could have faith? What if from her, Jesus learns that he was sent not only for his own people, for a broader mission of bringing God's salvation beyond the boundaries of the Israelites? Perhaps through his encounter with a Canaanite woman, the persistent mother who does not give up for her children's sake, Jesus is able to see something that no one thinks possible yet, bringing God's salvation to the Gentiles. Perhaps through her boldness and persistence, the Canaanite woman is planting seeds of greater openness in the heart of Jesus. The beginning of his vision of God's kingdom that never stops growing. I don't know, maybe some of you are thinking or telling me quietly, "Pastor, that is confusing. It can't be. How can Jesus be imperfect? How can you say Jesus changed his mind and grew?" But I do not think this way of interpreting today's scripture diminishes Jesus' power and authority as our Lord and Savior. We all know it takes great courage to admit that we are wrong. Probably some of us find it easy to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. But often we find it to be very hard. It can be humiliating to say, I'm sorry, after all, I was wrong. In fact, Jesus modeled for us some 2,000 years ago what we are only now discovering, that true courage requires vulnerability. And we need to learn this lesson from Jesus, the willingness to be vulnerable, grow from our experience, and change. Today, there seems to be so much emphasis on being right. It is a spirit of self-righteousness, the same spirit which ruled over the Pharisees and Sadducees of Jesus' time, which threatens to rule over our public discourse and our relationships with other people. Divided into two sides over political issues, we claim we are right and lord over others whom we judge to be wrong. Divided into two sides over faith issues, we Christians say, my way is the right way, and that is the only way. But when you are self-righteous, when you have this attitude and belief that you are always right and you cannot be possibly wrong, you cannot enter a genuine relationship with other people, even with one another, even within our faith community here in this place. This type of rigidness takes us away from being in relationship with each other. And being in relationship with each other beyond categories of race, ethnicity, gender, socioeconomic status, political, and religious affiliation is at the very heart of the gospel we believe and want to practice. Here is a quote from Richard Rohr, which speaks to our need to embrace vulnerability for the sake of relationship. He writes, I would name salvation as simply readiness, the capacity, and the willingness to stay in relationship. As long as you show up with some degree of vulnerability, the Spirit can keep working. Self-sufficiency makes God's experience impossible. That's why Jesus showed up in this world as a naked, vulnerable one. A defenseless baby lying in the place where animals eat. Talk about utter relationship. Naked vulnerability means I am going to let you influence me. I'm going to allow you to change me. The readiness, the capacity, and the willingness to stay in relationship, this is what Jesus models for us in his encounter with the unnamed Canaanite woman. As we today celebrate the love of God, we witness in mother's love. This is the salvation of God we find in Jesus Christ, whose heart and mind were forever changed through his willingness to be confronted by this Gentile woman, the Canaanite woman. May that be the role model for all of us as we seek to understand God's love through our mothers and practice that love in our own relationships. Amen.